praise the Lord. As well, we would like to appreciate Living Word, IT Park, for receiving us and for providing for us an opportunity to serve Jesus with you as a church. You know, we exist to serve the church. The Philippine Sending Council of SEND International, or SEND Philippines, we exist to serve the body of Christ. So we are here for you. And it's really a joy for us to get to know better, because the last time we were here, we just came in, and it was a short visit with Pastor TJ and the rest of the leadership of the church. And now we are given a chance to serve you and be with you yesterday in the workshop, and today in sharing what God has for you all. I've recognized that when people are coming in, many are in their 30s maybe, or even younger. This is really very special. Today, I believe this is one of our Sundays, right? But I believe in my heart, God brought you to church today to hear a special challenge from God. It's my privilege to share that, but it will be the Lord who will be challenging us and sending this special clarion call for you. So although you're with your friends or family, you're sitting with brothers and sisters, I you know, God has this message for you today. Now, Pastor TJ mentioned my family. This is our picture. I met my wife, Helen, in Bible school in 1987. We got married. Last year, our son got married. And our daughter, is, as was mentioned, is a nurse. She is in the outback of Australia, in Mount Isa, in Queensland, near Brisbane. And our daughter, Sophia, is 12 years old, grade 7. So we thank the Lord for each of our families, right? Each of our members are really precious. I want to also introduce you to our SEND Philippines family. You've already met Pastor Nelson, Pastor Hilmer, and Sister Beverly. But we do come with the rest of our team, who's part of our mobilization team. We call our office a sending office, because we call upon the church, and those that God has called from the church to become missionaries, we journey and help them prepare for the mission field. We also help our churches. In fact, Pastor TJ was praying about unreached people groups. We do also, it's our joy to help in facilitating, helping our churches adopt an unreached people group. That phrase could be foreign today to many of you, adopting an unreached people group. Those who have attended the workshop will have the privilege of telling you more about that, because we had that in our lesson yesterday. So we pray for those of you who have attended the workshop. You have an opportunity to share when you have those learnings you have from yesterday, your takeaways, from yesterday to the rest of the body of Christ here at Living Word. And I think one of our words that we wanted to remember, two of them, of course, is when we talk about the word mission, is the kingdom work of the church to expand God's kingdom. When we add an S to missions, then we are talking about cross-culture work. We're in the church, members, missionaries, for example, from our church, like what you have adopted, Sister Beverly. She left the Philippines, went to India as a missionary. That's missions. And our prayer today is that God will call someone to pray, maybe to send, maybe to go, or welcome a ministry in missions for you. Let me pray. Loving God, our dear Heavenly Father, we ask the Holy Spirit now, the teacher of the church, to minister to us, that your word, Father, will bear fruit in the lives of your children. Father, we pray that as we come before your holy presence, your Holy Spirit will bring comfort, will bring conviction, will bring understanding, but most of all, even courage to apply and move out as the Lord of the harvest calls. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We were missionaries to Central Europe, North Central Europe, particularly in Poland, from 1999 to 2007. That is our first ever prayer card. And as missionaries from the Philippines, this was taken back then. So as you would recognize, that is really many hairs ago. Our daughter was 12, our son was 6. So yes, we lived in a cold place, but we loved it there. We had the privilege of helping the Polish Baptist Church plant churches in the area of Czech and in Gdańsk area. This is where we studied Polish, that small circle near the Ukraine border. It's in your left corner, and then the two places up north is where we started our church planting work, and then in our second term we went down south in Wrocław, in Lubin, near the Czech Republic. God allowed us to serve as cross-culture missionaries because the church, like your church, had prayed and supported Sister Beverly. And let me adjust this. Okay, thank you. Much better? Maybe. Okay. We serve in an international team. That picture right there where we're all standing up is in the border of Czech Republic and Poland. And so we were standing by the rock, we were praying, we were having our meetings. And it's really a privilege to serve God and share the gospel with an international team. So the man below with his daughter and our adopted daughter right there with me, he's my fellow church planter. His name is Sławek. And it's my privilege to serve with him in church planting in Czech. The Lord brought us because he called us. And whom the Lord has called, he provides for. Now, I would like to introduce you to 5 men, individuals. These 5 individuals changed the course of history for us, for the world, and especially for global missions. Now, they said many things, these great men, but I have with me some precious sayings that they shared to the body of Christ when they were missionaries themselves. They were just one man. So as a teacher, I give quiz. So I think it's in the church you could have a quiz, right? So consider this as a Living Word IT Park Sunday quiz. Who said this? And because this is a missions month, you need to hear this missions quotation. And let's read this together. Go. The greatest missionary is the Bible in the mother tongue. It never needs a furlough, is never considered a foreigner. Think about that. This must be said by someone who loves the Bible, right? And anyone who knows who said this? If you've been in the first service, maybe you know who this person is. His name is William Cameron Townsend. Cameron Townsend was a missionary among the tribes, particularly among the tribal people in Guatemala. He left in 1999. He was the founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators. Have you heard of this group? Or Summer Institute of Linguistics. He was the man. He started it. One man made this difference. He didn't know that as he started this outreach, engaging tribal peoples, indigenous peoples, God will flourish, bless that, to become a translation ministry, translating spoken dialects, the Bible, to the written word. Don't forget him. Second person here, he said this. Together, attempt great things for God, expect great things for God. Who said this?
Edmund Haggai.
Older than him. Yeah. This is William Carey. William Carey went to India among the Hindu people. And he left for India from England in 1793. You know what? He is considered the father of modern missions. Meaning, what we are talking about here, he started it all. The whole idea of church, the body of Christ, members of the body of Christ, leaving their own country, leaving their own church, and going to cross-culture missions. He developed that structure, teaching, theology. He is called the father of modern missions. This man started us off. Next one, who said this? Together, God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. Amen? Do you believe that? This man believed it with all of his heart. Who is this man? His name is James Hudson Taylor. You're probably right. Yes. He went to the unreligious Chinese, to China, 1853. He was the founder of the China Inland Mission. During those times, when missionaries get to a place, they just start ministry at the coastlands. No one was going into the interior. And Hudson Taylor said, I want to go to the neglected places where people are not yet reached, because most missionaries who have traveled by ship would end up in the coasts, and that is where they stayed. But they were not able to reach those in the interior, so he founded China Inland Mission, which later on became Overseas Missionary Fellowship. Who said this? Together, the chief end of missions is not the salvation of men, but the glory of God, the worship of God. And the man who said that is, I don't know if he's familiar to you, he is Samuel Marinus Zwemer. You know who he is? He was called the father or the apostle to the Islam, to the Muslim peoples. He left in 1891 and served in the Middle East among Muslim peoples. And the last one, he said this together, the prospects are as bright as the promises of God. The diverse statements, right, coming from different men. Who said this? His name is Adoniram Judson. He went to the Buddhist peoples in Burma, from England, and he served in Burma, or what we call now Myanmar. If you go to Yangon today, there will be hospitals in his name, because the platform that he used was medical outreach for the Buddhist people in Myanmar. And so there will be Adoniram Judson Memorial Hospital in Yangon and in some other cities in Myanmar today. This individual man made a difference. One man. This man called by God, went, trusted God, and the Lord provided for them, and they changed the course of the lives by God's grace of the thumb. Look at this. Because Cameron Townsend went to the tribal people. William Carey went to the Hindus. James Hudson Taylor went to the unreligious Chinese. Samuel Zwemer went to the Muslims. And Adoniram Judson went to the Buddhists. You have the sign of the thumb outside. And for several weeks now, you probably have seen it, but you have never thought about they really represent the heart of these individual missionaries, because they targeted the thumb many years ago. 17th century, 18th century, they have started to reach out and engage these five major religions. But look at the map. Today, look at the Buddhist map, the map of the world, and how many Buddhists today? 502 million Buddhists today who are considered unreached, meaning among their people group, they don't have a missionary, a pastor, a Bible, a church, or gospel witness among them. 510 unreached people groups. I thought Adoniram Judson went to the Buddhist peoples, but until today, we have these millions of people outside Christ. They haven't even heard of the name of Jesus Christ. Look at the Hindu map. This is the Hindu map. Wow. They're all, of course, concentrated in India. Do you see the map? Right, that's India. And 1,219,000,000 people found in about 2,000 plus unreached people groups. Again, these are Hindu people without missionaries, without access to the gospel. Well, I thought William Carey went to the Hindu people all those years, but today there's still these unreached people groups where Sister Beverly had served. Now look at the Muslim world. Look at the map. Wow. This will blow us away. 2,021,106,000 people estimated as adherents to the Muslim religion, with 3,432 unreached people groups. Brothers and sisters, Samuel Zwemer went to the Muslim peoples, but today we still have the task to be done. The Great Commission is yet to be completed, is yet to be fulfilled. The Great Commission remains unfinished. But the plan of God, the vision of God, the heart of God remains the same. He wanted to bless the nations. It was Habakkuk who prophesied, revealing the heart and passion of God. In chapter 2, verse 14, he wrote, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." What was God's intention? What was God's vision? The earth, the inhabitants, the peoples, the nations of the world will be filled with what? With who God is. They will taste and see the faithfulness of God, the glory of God, the love of God, the hope that God gives. Is it true today? I don't think so. This is yet to be fulfilled. The Great Commission is yet to be finished. That the knowledge of the glory of God permeates the world as the waters cover the sea. We have yet to see this. But God called one man one day, and this is in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. God chose a man. Again, a man. Before William Cameron Townsend, Adoniram Judson, Samuel Zwemer, William Carey, these men like James Hudson Taylor, in scriptures, God called Abraham. He said to him, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing." Why would God bless Abraham? "I will bless you. Those who blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse." Because God has chosen Abraham because God wanted all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Do you see the idea? God is choosing a man. God is using people. God would even use one person like Abraham to be a blessing to the nations. And we have embraced, we have made a step of faith like the faith of Abraham to love God, make that step of faith to be saved, when we repented of our sins, turned away from our sins from darkness to light, we became sons of Abraham. And his blessings that was promised by God is ours as well. Amen? The blessings are coming, but 3.44% of the world's population, 3 billion people, cannot claim that they have received the blessing through Abraham. Our work continues. His obedience, his faith and life will bless the nations. That was God's plan. Now, one last verse that I would like to share with you. Apostle Peter wrote a special verse for the church. Let's read this together. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, together. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I highlighted the word anyone because in the original rendering, it's in the singular form. Meaning, the verse is saying, God does not want even one person to perish. Imagine the love of God for you, for one person. If you are the only person alive in the world, would Jesus Christ still die on the cross? Think about that. What's your answer? Would Jesus Christ still die on the cross if you are the only living person alive today? Well, he doesn't want even one to perish. His love is even for one person. Though everyone should come to repentance. So our topic today is this. One matters to God. One makes a difference. So in Luke chapter 15, the verse that we would be, the passage that we will be highlighting today is this. The setting of this story is that the religious leaders noticed and made a complaint that these tax collectors, you know who were they during the time of Jesus? And sinners, it says there, we don't know exactly what they were referring to as sinners, but we know what tax collectors were. They were all gathering around to hear Jesus. In the words of the religious leaders, Jesus was welcoming them. He was eating with them. He was dining with them. And with this, they were complaining. In fact, the Greek word was grumbling. They were criticizing Jesus. Why was he entertaining their enemies? The enemies of Judaism, the enemies of the Jews. Because these men, they were probably Jews, tax collectors, they were collecting money on behalf of Rome. And some of them were corrupt, and they were really considered public sinners. But Jesus was welcoming them. Jesus was caring. He was teaching them. He was loving on them. And the religious leaders cannot stand this because the word that is rendered there in the complaint of the religious leaders of grumbling, they were grumbling in the past all the way to the present. Because Jesus was constantly, has been welcoming the sinners. So, in response, this is what was happening. In response to the complaint, to the grumbling of the religious leaders, Jesus told a parable. In fact, three parables, but saying the same story, giving the same message. He told about the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. Sometimes we take it apart and talk about the lost sheep in the lost coin, one study, and even the prodigal son, the lost son, in one study. But you see, the intention of Jesus was, this is a story in three parts that he told the people, particularly in the hearing of the religious leaders, somehow to rebuke and to respond to their complaints. So note that these religious leaders were really grumbling because Jesus was constantly receiving, welcoming, fellowshipping with sinners. It was Jesus' habit, in fact, to receive sinners because he came to find the lost, give freedom to those who are in prison, deliver those who are in bondage, right? Jesus was loving on them. So, look at the story. In Luke chapter 15, verses 4 to 7, Jesus said, "A man having 100 sheep, he lost one of them. He does not leave the 99 in the open country. He went away. He go after the one that is lost until he finds it." The Lord Jesus told this story of one lost sheep. And the shepherd will not stop until he finds the lost sheep, that one lost sheep. If you follow the story, and since this is a response to the tax collector, then we have to find who does the story, what part of the story refers to who. And so the tax collectors, they are sinners, they are traitors, they are enemies of the Jews, they cause misery to the Jewish community because of high taxes, and they are considered public sinners. Who are they in the story? The lost sheep. These traitors, what is considered public sinners, they're coming to Jesus. They're coming to Jesus. They're being found. They were lost, and Jesus found them. And Jesus would loved on them. The lost sheep was valuable for Jesus. They are loved. They are precious. The shepherd will leave the 99 behind to emphasize the fact that this one lost sheep is significant. This one lost sheep is loved and cared for. And when the sheep was found, it was a cause for rejoicing. God being the shepherd. Look at this picture. When the shepherd found the sheep, right? One lost sheep. It was a relentless search. The force of the story was that the shepherd will not stop searching. Brothers and sisters, you are here. You receive God's grace because God's grace pursued you. His love, boundless, endless, reached out to you. And one day we said, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I ask forgiveness for my sins. I repent of my ways. I need to be saved." And no one is outside the love of Jesus, not even these sinners. So the picture was that. Jesus was loving on these sinners and he's receiving them. The second picture and the story is this, the lost coin. It says here that a woman having 10 silver coins, she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house, seek diligently until she finds it. And when she found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the lost." Look at the picture of this woman who lost one coin. Some scholars, some friends of ours have said that this woman in the story probably received a gift from her would-be husband, her fiancé. Before the wedding, she was given a gift, probably a part of the Jewish culture that they would all understand, that this woman, the bride-to-be, would receive a gift from the groom-to-be. And it's a headband, like a crown, with coins. And in this case, 10 coins. But for some reason, before the wedding, probably, one coin was missing, and she found out. And that's embarrassing, probably, right? So losing one coin. Whatever the story was, the message was this one coin was so precious that she relentlessly, she will not stop until she finds the coin. And that one lost coin was so precious to complete the 10 coins together. And when she found it, it was a cause for rejoicing. You notice the story? At the end of each rejoicing, the statement uttered by Jesus was this. When one lost person is found and repents of his sins, there is rejoicing in heaven, right? There's rejoicing in heaven. So to emphasize that rejoicing, that importance of one person, Jesus told the third story, the parable of the lost son, or popularly known, the story, the parable, the prodigal son. And this prodigal son, of course, as we call him, he gave so much misery to the father to divest of those inheritance. His father was still alive. To request for your inheritance would be tantamount to saying, "Lord, that to me, Dad, you're die. You're dead. Give me my inheritance." Even before his father is dead, he was already asking. This is disrespectful. In some cultures today, that would even mean death to the son. He left, ignored his obligation to the family. He broke the family relationship. He was gone. And the father obliged, right? He gave the younger son his inheritance, who wasted it all away. Of course, I know it's a long story, but we are breezing through the story because to drive home the point that Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the scribes, these public sinners, these tax collectors that you hate, God loves them. And now they are found. They're coming to me. So you should be rejoicing like the friends of the shepherd, the friends of the woman, and the family and friends of the father. You should be rejoicing. Why are you grumbling? Why are you complaining? For God, one person is so precious. One public sinner, tax collector, to repent and come before God and receive deliverance and salvation, it's a cause for rejoicing. Probably, these religious leaders were not rejoicing like the friends of the father, the woman, and the shepherd, because in the first place, they were not probably friends of God. If you're a friend of God, you will rejoice when someone returns to the Father or is saved or prayed to receive Jesus Christ, right? They were probably enemies of the gospel of God. What lessons do we draw out from these stories? Of course, Jesus was saying, they are coming. The lost are coming to Jesus. They are understanding, they are receiving the welcome of Jesus.
So we should not give up on outcasts and sinners. This statement, these three stories, were a lesson to the Pharisees and the scribes. We should not give up on the outcasts, on the public sinners. Do not give up on the tax collectors that you hate or you consider enemies. Do not give up on them because God is not giving up on them. They love them. Let us not give up on unreached people groups that we are saying they're too far away, Pastor. The map there, there's too scattered, they're away. No. From the 1040 window, many of these Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims are jumping out of the 1040 window and they are in Cebu. Do you see Hindu students in Cebu studying in your colleges? Were they here 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? I was here in my college days in Cebu in the 1980s, my first time to come to Cebu. And there were no traffic, I think, during those times. I remember when we rode the jeep, only in Cebu, I said, because during those times, when we rode the jeepney, and people are getting off, they will say, lugar lang. And then they will pull out their money and pay. In Manila, you don't do that because you'll be getting people into traffic. But back then, we were relaxed. Lugar lang, and then bayad, and then plete, ibabalik in sukli. The Cebuanos were not rushing. Today, we are probably rushing because we don't want to hit the traffic. It's different. And we may not be seeing what God wants you to see. People from other nations are here. And some of us may not even go and cross cultures, travel and leave the country because God brought them here. We just need to welcome them. Imagine 20-year-olds, imagine if that's your children, leaving the country, moving to another country to study. Where will they get food if they were not taught how to cook? Well, may sugba merkado naman. But how can they survive with all that? They need support around them because their family is away. Is the church ready to welcome these unreached people groups who are already here? But of course, millions of them are still back in their own countries we needed to reach. But in this case, Jesus was saying, love on them, receive them, do not give up on them. They come and they surrender to God because Jesus cares for them. They know. Number two takeaway from this story is this. Each one lost person, one is precious to God, one is precious to valuable to Jesus. Those who repent bring so much joy and celebration in heaven because Jesus is reaching out to them. Yes, there is celebration and rejoicing in heaven with the angels over one person who repents because God cares for one person. One person is loved by God and one person can make a difference. Cameron Townsend, remember? Adoniram Judson, William Carey, James Hudson Taylor, these men, Samuel Zwemer, lived their day and crossed cultures and started a wonderful ministry among them. I would like to end with this story from Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus, in the preceding chapter, was in Capernaum. Many people were there and listening. There were crowd. And Jesus, for some reason, told the disciples at the end of chapter 4, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And so his disciples, look at the map. They were in Capernaum. You find Capernaum out there, maybe in northwest out there, and they went to the other side. The other side of the lake from Capernaum is Gerasenes or Gadarenes. And so in Mark chapter 5, we find the story, verses 1 to 20, the story of the Gadarene demoniac. This guy was possessed by evil spirits that his family ostracized him, sent him away, and he was living among the dead. He was sent away. No hope, no friends, no family. In fact, when they bound him, he just let loose. And he was hurting himself. That's why he was put in shackles. But he would cut loose. This man was ostracized. This man was left to be by himself, probably to die. I don't know, but I would like to believe that from the distant shore of Capernaum to Gadarenes, Jesus saw this man, this one person, only one person. So he told his disciples, let's go to the other side, leaving the crowd because of one person. Because you see, in the story, it was probably the only agenda, reason why Jesus crossed the sea to be with this person. Notice, Jesus loved this Gadarene demoniac. He loved him. He gave him freedom. He restored him to his community. The story says here that he was ushered back to his community. It says there that he was clothed and in his right mind. He was restored. The amazing power of the gospel, the work, the miraculous work of Jesus, like probably our experience as well. We have been delivered from our past. Some of you are saying, I have a dark past. And one would say, no, I have a darker past. Or one would say, no, mine is darkest. Whatever it is, this man is very dark. His past was that he had 1,000 demons in him, and there's no power, only the power of Jesus released him, delivered him, and he was free and restored. That's the love of God, the love of Jesus. He does not only welcomes, he restores. His love restores. And that is probably your experience, right? When you are saved, when we are saved, relationships were restored. It must be hard, but God made those restoration. He was forgiven in his right mind. When the people saw that, well, the people saw two things. The pigs that were floating from the river and their kababayan who's been restored. And guess what? What caught their attention? The dead pigs, right? And so they told Jesus, leave us. You're bad for business. They didn't say that, but they said, leave us. And Jesus was really leaving, telling us probably that was really the reason why he crossed the Sea of Galilee for this one person whom he loved. But you see, this person is unlovable. The person supposed to care for him, loved him, already sent him away. But Jesus saw him and cared for him. Jesus cares for the unloved people of India, possessed probably by many things, with the gods that they worship. Your missionary, Sister Beverly, was there, and she has this story to share.
Good morning, dear brethren of Living Word IT Park. It's a privilege to be with you and personally testify of what the Lord has done the past 2 years. So I was deployed on May 31, 2022, and I came back on May 4 of this year. And It's a joy to glorify the Lord in your midst for what He has done. And dear brethren, you're part of this story. You've prayed for me and you've given your financial support. Rejoice with me as I show you some evidences of His grace those past 2 years. The Lord blessed me with relationships among locals, both Hindus and Muslims, and I would categorize them into four groups: the Lingua Bridge ladies, Soch shop ladies, sales ladies, salesmen, and then my language helpers, language teachers, and neighbors and acquaintances. Lingua Bridge is an English center of my former team leaders, and it was there where I met these precious Muslim ladies. We invited them to our place, and we also got invited to their homes. You know, just having chai with them and being with them was already a blessing. And to even share the gospel was a greater blessing. And that was the reason why the Lord sent me there, that I may declare His excellencies. Second group, Soch. Soch is a clothes shop. And one time the Lord gave me the privilege to publicly declare the gospel among the sales ladies and salesmen, which could have been a reason for me to be reported to the police. But the Lord spared me from that. I'm back in one piece. I still have a mission to do. And one lady, this lady to your left, came to me one time and asked, napaka serious, "Excuse me, I want to ask you one question." And I said, "Yes, what is it?" And she said, "Why are you always happy?" And I said, "It's because of Jesus." And I had several visits. I could not count the number of times I visited them. Some of them came to our place. I went to their homes. I visited them at the hospital. I was with one lady during the death of her dad. And those were precious ministry opportunities. Third, my language helpers. On my first year, I was in a small language center where I learned Hindi. I went there on a tourist visa. I studied Hindi for 2 years. I know a few words, and I could read and write Hindi. Praise God for that. In spite of an ideal setting. And these language teachers came to our place. I had coffee times with them. During our language lessons, I had opportunities to share the gospel. Of course, there were times when they didn't want to hear, but the Lord presented those lessons to be springboards for gospel presentations. The fourth group would be my neighbors and acquaintances. My neighbors were both Muslims and Hindus. Again, we took advantage of special occasions. And there were times when we had to come up with occasions just so we could invite them to our place and share them about our Lord. And the lady, bottom right of the screen, she's a beautician. I met her at the post office, and well, out of the blue, she said, "I'm a beautician." "Oh, great. I've been needing a haircut that time, and I wanted something cheap lang." So, okay, let's go to my shop. And while we were on the road, I asked her, "Have you heard of Jesus?" She said, "No, I'm a Hindu." My heart broke. Still many, again, billions of people haven't heard the name Jesus. We are already talking about the second coming, but people, billions of people, have not heard of the first coming. And Dear brethren of Living Word, through your prayers, God granted me the grace and the boldness to tell these precious souls about Him. I was there. You were upholding me with your prayers together with other brethren from my home church. We had a weekly prayer time, and every prayer time we would include 3 unreached people groups of the state of Uttar Pradesh where I was in. And you know, after 2 years, we've only reached letter B. I don't know how many years it would take for us to reach letter Z of those unreached people groups, only of that state. No? And then second, our elders continued to reach out to us, missionaries deployed to foreign fields and local fields, through a monthly discipleship. And thank God for partner churches like you. We are able to go because you are here as senders through your prayers and through your giving. And together with send personnel, I am excited as to who the Lord would call as a goer from this congregation. Why don't you join me in Lucknow when I go back as the Lord wills? And I'd like to end. Oh, this list of names, they are not just names. They are precious souls, and most of them heard the gospel. They are people I have personally interacted with. If I may give you a homework, dear brethren, if this first group could please just pick one name. Each of you, if you could just quickly go through the list, pick one name that you would commit to pray for in your prayer time so that you won't forget the name, you write it down. Forgetful people. So please, second group, second column, third group, third column, fourth column. I have 2 verses. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Romans 15:20, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. To God be the glory. Thank you for your partnership. And another familiar saying from William Carey, I'd like to end with this. He said, I will go down the pit, but you need to hold the rope. So Living Word brethren, thank you for holding the rope for me. God bless.
Amen. Amen. God bless. God bless. You see, some of us are called to hold the rope. Some of us are called to hold the rope by praying, by sending. Even the funds that you help share for the needs of your missionaries, you're holding the rope. But some of us are really called to go. Because that is how God called you. That is God's calling for you. And let me share with you why you need to consider going, because God has blessed the Filipino church with these cross-cultural missions qualities to be able to go. To have 14 million Filipinos today living abroad, either working, studying, whatever they were doing, some of them, of course, TNT, but they're still out there and is thriving. Is living in places. I was in Greenland, up above Northwest Territories, Yukon Territories of Canada, because they were showing me a tribal work there that needs missionaries.
it's really way up cold. And there was a Filipino. The missionaries told me, James, you should meet the Filipino. He's at the clinic. He comes here once a week to care for the people. Up there near the place of Santa Claus, there's a Filipino up north in a very cold place. Why is this? We have to think through this because we have been blessed by God with cross-cultural missions qualities. What are they? Number one, say this together. Filipinos are linguistically blessed. By the way, if you're a foreigner, but you have been eating Filipino rice, you could be a Filipino as well. Because that makes you, that rice is powerful. So, we are linguistically blessed, meaning a Filipino, the least is a Filipino is bilingual. He knows Tagalog, he knows Filipino, and you Cebuanos. So you're trilingual already. Some of you know four languages. And that's needed by a missionary. You will learn a language. And they were asking, why do Filipinos really sing so well and they know languages like this and they could learn? Well, because of so many sounds of dialects in the Philippines, 120 ethno-linguistic languages in the Philippines, and when we hear them, it's easy for us to learn another language. That's probably the reason why we have call centers in the Philippines, and Filipinos are working in these call centers. We are linguistically blessed. Number two, together, Filipinos are... What does that mean, historically blessed? Meaning, in our history, we don't have a history of aggression. So when we go abroad and they learn that we are Filipinos, Filipinos, okay yan. They won't fight us, they won't rebel, they're good people, generally speaking. So, when they say DH yan, alam niyo bang, you know the new meaning of DH? Divine helpers. They are good people, godly people, religious people, right? Walang amen? Amen. Amen. Number three, we are together. What are we? Number one, linguistically blessed. Two, historically blessed. Culturally, which means we can adapt easily to other cultures because we're used to many cultures. The Chinese, the Japanese, the Americans, Europeans came to the Philippines. Magellan came here in your area. The Europeans are here. Sweden is here before us. We are exposed to lots of cultures. And because of that, we could adjust. We are probably one of the most flexible people on earth. Amen? Amen. Number four. Together? Let us not forget. The meaning of you have a prophetic face, look at your neighbor. Bukang propeta, di ba? Yeah. Meaning, the Filipino feature is a blend of everything. When we were in Poland, they thought I was Indonesian. I was Japanese. I was Taiwanese. I was Indonesian. They cannot really figure it out. Because many of them have not really heard of the Philippines. And I said, that shouldn't be the case because if we are called alphabetically, Philippines and Poland, they are next to each other. Diba? When we're as a Miss Universe. So, but they cannot figure, because it's okay. It's okay because the Filipino looks so different. When I went to Northwest Territories of Canada among the Athabascan Indians, the First Nation peoples of U.S. and Canada, I look like them. Some of you, they look like Athabascan Indians, Inuits and First Nation peoples. They look like us. One of them looks like Brother Sherwin. Is Brother Sherwin here? Yeah. Maybe Brother Sherwin should go there. We could be accepted because of our looks. They don't threaten us. They are not also threatened by us because we have a prophetic face. It's a blessing. Number four, together, Filipinos our physical. Is that true? We are used to hard life. We could live anywhere. Correct? Yeah, we could thrive if it is hard. Learn. When we say, kung maiksi ang kumot, matuto, mamaluktot. When the blanket is short, we crouch. That's it. Right? We will fit. Number five, Filipinos together, we are spiritual. Yes! In the 1970s, the Philippines have only 5,000 evangelical churches. Today, 12%, even 14% is considered evangelical Christians, meaning 90,000 known evangelical churches today. You are part of the 90,000 churches in the Philippines today. We have a vibrant church. We have a church that can support missionaries, pray for missionaries, send missionaries. The 7,220 unreached people groups in the world, if 12 of those 90,000 churches unite together, we can finish the unreached people groups. Because we, the 90,000 churches alone, can finish the job. Adopting unreached people groups. Number six, I like this one. Let's say this together. Filipinos are hungry always. Gastronomically blessed. This means that we can take it. When we were in Poland, the staple food are potatoes. Can we eat potatoes? Bread? Oh, we had pizza every week. We made it because flour was so cheap. Cheese was so cheap. Polish kielbasa is available and cheap. And so we had high blood pressure and cholesterol coming out of that because we could live on that. Without rice, we could live for a while, right? And we could find where it is. We could eat anything that flies, that crawls, that jumps, that whatever. And of course, we have to cook it, right? But we are gastronomically blessed. Number one, we are linguistically blessed. Number two, historically blessed. Number three, culturally blessed. Number four, we are spiritually blessed. Number five, physically blessed. And number six, gastronomically blessed. Meron pa. Number seven, we are strategically blessed. You remember the map where the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hindus are? They are right where we live. Thailand is one promo fair by Cebu Pacific. Years ago, we can't. It's just a luxury to fly, right? But today, we could. So, in your tourism plans to visit places, why not make it a short-term trip? Because the unreached people groups are within our reach because we are strategically located. That is probably a gift from God, a blessing that we are so near unreached people groups. We fly from Cebu, you could fly to Thailand already. No need to go to Manila. Cebu to Bangkok. And Bangkok, India. Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia. Praise God, we are strategically located. And lastly, the Filipinos are prophetically named. Why is that? You remember the evangelist Philip? Sent by God to disciple the Ethiopian eunuch? Well, we were named after the King Philip of Spain, right? But King Philip is not original. His name came from the Apostle Philip. We are the only nation, I believe, named after an evangelist. Is that an accident or an act of God? That we Philippines, our country is named after an apostle. Filipino. Philip. Filipino. Pinili. Pinino. For missions. For cross-culture missions. Brothers and sisters, this is our challenge to us. It's time for us to go. Would you be that one person who will make that difference? Adoniram Judson, Zwemer, Carey, Hudson, Townsend did that in their own way during their time. Maybe Living Word, IT Park, it's your time to send. Would it be you who will be sent as a goer, or you'll be a sender, one who prays, or one who welcomes? God bless you.